Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher, the Union Local 208 members decided to strike. They voted down the proposed contract yesterday. We're going to hear more from COTA in a few minutes, we hope, and perhaps from the city to find out how they're going to manage today for Red, White, and Boom and going forward if the strike continues. So stay tuned for that. Joining me now is Alonzo Mitchell III. He's the producer and organizer of an event called Ohio Homecoming, and it's coming to Columbus this week in celebration of Columbus's 200th anniversary, in celebration of its bicentennial. Alonzo, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us about the homecoming. It came from Cleveland, right?
It did. It pretty much is just a growth of, you know, people from Ohio loving this place and trying to create a weekend where everyone who is from here or represents here can all come together to celebrate where all of us call home.
So what does the celebration involve? It's a four-day?
It's a three-day celebration. Okay. So it starts July 5th, and we like to say a 4th of July celebration doesn't end with the boom. So it's Thursday, July 5th through Saturday, July 7th.
And what's the point? What's the difference between homecoming and any kind of bicentennial events that might be going on?
Our events are to help Columbus draw people from all over the state. So a lot of the bicentennial celebrations have been the focus on Columbus and the people who are here. But our goal is to try to get people from Cleveland and Dayton and Cincinnati and Steubenville and all these places from all over the state to help our state's capital celebrate her 200th birthday.
So to bring people home.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about some of the events starting Thursday. It's a Columbus Bicentennial Day of Service project. What's that all about?
Absolutely. So the Recycle Program is the new initiative in the city where everyone is going to get the recycle bins in front of their home.
The curbside recycling. Right.
The thing about it is that if you don't take it to your backyard within 48 hours, they come back and pick it up and take it back to the recycle center. And so you have to call or try to figure out how to get the bins back. So on Thursday, we're going to hang 20,000 door hangers on 20,000 homes on the north side of Columbus. And on this door hanger is going to let people know why it's important and when your bin is going to come and how you can be more involved in this important citywide initiative.
How did you decide what to do in terms of the day of
the service project? Last year we did an extreme rehab of an inner city high school. So we painted it in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. We painted it. We landscaped it. We actually slept in the school overnight. We had about 450 volunteers come and do it. And so when I got to Columbus, we were looking around to say, you know, what's the most important thing right now and what can we have the most impact as far as on a larger scale? And we just thought from coming to the State of the City address that if we could help recycle in this initiative going forward, it'd be great.
My guest is Alonzo Mitchell III. He's the producer and organizer of Ohio Homecoming. It's an event that started in Cleveland a few years ago. It's coming to Columbus this year to help Columbus celebrate its bicentennial. If you have any questions or comments for him, get them in quick, 614-292-8513. The event is a three-day event. We've just been talking about the Day of Service Project on Thursday. If you want more information about any of this, go to ohiohomecoming.com. We'll also post that on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Okay, so on Thursday night, there's
yes,
a party.
Yes.
What's that?
It's called DJs in the Park After Dark. So anyone knows anything about the park system in Columbus knows the parks close at 9. They're allowing us to keep the park open until midnight in the middle of downtown Columbus. So we brought the top 8 DJs from Central Ohio, and they're going to play for 4 hours. We partner with Homage. They're going to do a vintage pop-up clothing store. We have food trucks. We're going to have a live artist who's going to do an 8-foot by 8-foot art display, graffiti art live for the entire four hours.
Like a mural type thing?
A mural for the city. And it's only $5. And so it's really about, you know, everybody just coming together. The DJs range from 20 years old to 50.
All different kinds of music,
house music, hip hop. We have African-American, Caucasian, and Indian DJ to try to make it as diverse as possible. So that's on Thursday night. And we're just super excited about the kickoff.
That's a pretty big deal to do, to keep a park open till midnight. What about security? Can people feel safe about going downtown?
Well, you know, we're working with the Columbus Police Department. And so we've created a comprehensive plan on how to keep everybody safe. So that's our ultimate goal. It's not only great participation, but to make sure that everyone has a good time and a safe time.
COTA is on strike, at least. And hopefully it comes back and things get back to normal. But in case it's on strike, if people can ride their bikes down, is there going to be a safe place to put their bikes?
Absolutely. They can bring their bikes down. I always say that, you know, people almost forget that we can still walk. and do other means of transportation. So I think Columbus is going to get very creative and figure out ways to get down to downtown.
Stomp to the Ballot Step Show.
Yes.
That's on Friday, also at Genoa Park.
It absolutely is. So step shows are huge all over the country. Columbus is getting its biggest one yet.
What is it?
The Greek organizations come and do a step dance on the stage, and there's over eight teams, and they're competing for $5,000 in cash and prizes for their organizations, their nonprofits. We're expecting over 1,000 people to come to the event.
You mean Greek, meaning college Greek?
College Greek
predominantly. Okay, all right, great.
Definitely. Greek, the Alphas, the AKAs, the Deltas, you know, all the different organizations are going to come and represent. It's also a voter registration drive, and so we want to get as many people registered for this huge election that we have coming up in a couple of months.
And, all right, so how does the step dance translate into ballot drives? Getting people to the ballot.
Well, what we've learned as far as voter registration is that we were to say we're going to be in the park registering people to vote, no one's going to show up to come and get registered.
Boring.
So it's very boring. So what we do is we have cool events, and during the coolness of the event, someone may walk up to you and say, "Are you registered?" And so that's pretty much what we do. We try to register people at events that are already kind of cool.
This charity basketball game, it's a celebrity charity basketball game. Once again, you got to make it cool at St. John Arena. Tell us about that on Saturday.
It's very much less celebrity and very much more about professional athletes. So what we have is two teams. It's Team Cleveland versus Team Columbus. That rivalry is right up and down 71. And so, I mean, it goes all the way to the coaches. So the coaches for the Columbus team are Ron Stokes, and his assistant is Mayor Michael Coleman from the city of Columbus. And then Cleveland is actually being coached by Clark Kellogg, who's actually from Cleveland, but he's definitely a Buckeye. And his assistant coach is Brad Sellers, who is also a Buckeye, but he's the mayor of Warrensville Heights near Cleveland, Ohio. And so it's Team Cleveland versus Team Columbus. We got Scoonie Pinn, Evan Turner, Samaki Walker. There's over 10 Ohio State past Buckeyes, Stockman and Brian Brown and all those guys. And then for Cleveland, we have David Leidy, Tristan Thompson, Jawai Williams, just all these great guys. And it's for charity. So Cleveland is playing for the Fisher House, which is a Wounded Warrior program where they build these homes that veterans can live
Started
in.
Started out of Dayton.
Yep, absolutely. And then Columbus is playing for Life Sports, which is the Ohio State nonprofit. And then we just want to thank Lee Ning and the Columbus Sports Commission, Verizon Wireless Zone, Fun Games. Just everybody is just really, every player we've wanted. Just imagine if you put together a celebrity basketball game for the state.
Not
every
bad.
Single player that we wanted, we got.
Yeah.
And so we feel really excited. We want everybody to come out. The tickets are $5 for kids under 12. It's $10 for any OSU alumni or college students, and it's $15 just GA. So it's definitely cost-effective.
All for a good cause. Also, there's a Bicentennial concert at Bicentennial Park on Saturday. Is that free?
And that's totally free. And so it's the original Ohio players. So people are going to say, which Ohio players are these? we actually have Sugarfoot, and so it's going to be a really great time. We brought in some signature Columbus groups, so Mojo Flow will also be coming to perform ahead of the Ohio players, and it's totally free. And we just want people to come down and celebrate your 200th birthday because, not to ramble on a little bit, but Columbus is the third city in Ohio to get it. So Cincinnati had their bicentennial 15, 20 years ago. Cleveland had it about 12 years ago.
Well, Worthington did too.
there you go.
And so, there's a lot of smaller places, but I want to thank you. We need to move on, but I want to thank you. I'm so glad you could join us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And once again, if you want more information about that, go to ohiohomecoming.com. You can go to our website at wosu.org/allsides, and we'll have that link for you as well. Thanks again, Alonzo, and now we're going to turn our sights to Dawn Tyler Lee. She is board chair for CODA. Dawn, are you with us?
I'm here. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Dawn. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So what's going on right now? We know they voted it down yesterday. The local voted down the contract yesterday. What's the next step?
Yes, the local did vote down the contract last night, which we were very disappointed by. The next step is for our Board of Trustees to meet in a special meeting today where we will strategize about our next steps. You know, CODA, as you are well aware, has a responsibility not only to its employees, but also to our customers and to the taxpayers. So everything that we do has to keep those three stakeholder groups in mind. And so we believe that the package that was presented to the union was fair and equitable, and it actually was tentatively approved by the union's negotiating team in a marathon session that occurred on Sunday into Monday. And so with those tentative agreements, we felt pretty good about the strike coming to an end and work resuming. But unfortunately, the union membership did not vote for that contract. And so that's where we are today.
What was the glitch? Was it the same one it has been, or?
Well, you know, I've not talked to union leadership, so I certainly can't speak for them. I, quite frankly, am unclear about what their requests are at this point. We've worked with them in a very fair manner, and, you know, we'll continue to do so, but it's difficult to negotiate with a group that doesn't seem to bring the spirit of compromise to the negotiating table.
We've been we've put a lot of emphasis on Red, White, and Boom. That's tonight. They're expecting, you know, 26,000-27,000 people to would have used COTA, and that's one issue. But going forward, there's a lot of people who depend on COTA just to get to their jobs. They're not the luxury of going to Red, White, and Boom.
Absolutely, there's been a lot of attention to Red, White, and Boom, and I myself was planning to use COTA service to go down to Red, White, and Boom, and that's an event that's fun for the whole community. But the reality is, like you've said, people rely on our service to get to work, to get to school, to get to medical appointments, and it's irresponsible of the union not to keep those people in mind. I personally am experiencing some of the challenges because my husband is a small business owner, and a lot of our employees rely on the service. And so yesterday and today as well, my husband has been transporting his employees back and forth, and I know we're not unique. So there's really a very significant economic component to this strike that will affect our entire community, not just the bus operators and their families.
Oh, you know, some people have been concerned. To our listeners, we do want to get the union representatives on the show. We've tried in the past. We welcome them at any time to tell us what the problem is and what they want. But going forward, we want to thank Dawn Tyler Lee. She's chair of the board for COTA for joining us today. Dawn, what about special arrangements for people who are disabled and have other issues? There's still transportation out there for them, right?
Absolutely. Thanks for raising that point, Anne. Our Project Mainstream service, which is the service that is for our customers with disabilities, is still operational and fully functional. The Project Mainstream service is not impacted by this strike.
Someone asked me, why can't the management drive the buses and help out and pitch in, at least have some of them on the road? Not that I would want them personally to be driving the buses, but some people wonder why they can't do that.
Well, there isn't any way that we can provide safe and reliable service to the extent that it needs to be available to our passengers with just a skeleton crew of drivers. There really wouldn't be a way to do that in a way that's efficient and functional given the reach of COTA throughout the county.
All right. Dawn Tyler Lee, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Anne, for the opportunity.
Dawn Tyler Lee, she is chair of the board for COTA. Coming up, we're going to talk about the dance walk craze. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This year, the 4th falls on a Wednesday, but fear not. We'll bring you your weekly hit of the political junkie a day early. There's lots to talk about, too, from Charlie Rangel's retightened congressional primary to political fallout from the healthcare decision. I'm Neil Conan, political junkie Ken Rudin with guest host John Donvan. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And Talk of the Nation is this afternoon from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News. Mostly sunny skies today with a high of 94 degrees, currently 80 degrees in downtown Columbus. There is about a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms for today. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 71, still a chance of a shower or thunderstorm popping up.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Jazz Orchestra, taking the stage at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium for the 7th season of Jazz Zoo. 4 concerts Fridays, July 13th, 20th, and August 10th and 17th. Tickets and full series details at jazzartsgroup.org.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Do you dance walk? Should you dance walk? In late April, NBC reporter Ben Aaron noticed a guy doing just that, dance walking, down Fifth Avenue in New York City. Ben Aaron decided to dance walk a bit with him. He recorded it and then posted the video on YouTube. Millions of hits later, it's a bona fide meme, and dance walking has spread around the world. Joining us now from New York to talk about the dance walking is NBC reporter Ben Aaron. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Thank you so much. It's exciting. I can't believe that this whole thing is happening. It's very strange, the whole dance walk movement.
You know, lots of times when I see around the world, people think, yeah, right, and whatever. But it really is around the world.
It truly is. Yeah, every day we get videos. I mean, we got a video from Sweden that had like a dance walk like parade with 600 people, and they're speaking a completely different language, and I hear Ben Aaron throughout that sentence. And it's like, please stop.
Blah, 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 Ben Aaron.
And I'm like, that's me. That's the guy. And I'm some, like, you know, local idiot reporter doing this stuff. No big deal. And, you know, it has moved around the world. And it's amazing to see that people are actually, you know, taking part in it and they're enjoying it. And it's, you know, people have never exercised before in their lives. They're like, I'm dance walking now because it's so easy to do and anybody can do it, but you know,
the guy that first turned you on to dance walking has been doing it for a long time. You just happened to catch him one day on Fifth Avenue, right?
Yeah, Joe's been doing it for a while. There's actually like a whole fake Facebook page for Joe. He's got more hits and friends than anybody I've ever met in my life. But he does this thing. He just goes out and he dance walks and he listens to R&B music and he has his headset and he does his, you know, does it around town, and it's really, he doesn't think anything of it. He doesn't even have his own Facebook. He doesn't tweet, doesn't do anything. He just dance walks. So he didn't know this madness was happening. So we did the piece of him. And then a month later, you know, and 20 million hits later, we found him and we're like, Joe, you don't know what's happening right now. Like, you don't understand. People have been like dying to meet you and see you and be a part of this whole thing. So yeah, it was just a surprise to him. And he's a humble guy and he's terrific. So,
And then you got to dance with, what do you call him, the dance walk guru, or?
He was the nameless dance walk guru master, which was a bold statement. And now he's just Joe, because we actually know his name. He's Joe.
As I said, the movement has spread around the world, and it's far away as Columbus, Ohio. Joining us now is the founder of Dance Walk Columbus, Jen Diakoff.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Hi,
Ben.
Hi.
What inspired you, Jen, about dance walking?
Well, I think like so many people, I saw that video and it just made me so happy. I was in a great mood all day long. I think because everybody in that video was having so much fun. I like to dance anyway. And it's just a great way to meet, like Ben said, meet new people, get out there, see your city, and exercise at the same time.
Hey, Ben, when you're doing those videos that we've seen, the follow-up videos, and you're getting just complete strangers on the street to do it, are they really just strangers, or did you hire them and pay them $5 a piece to do that?
Always. People always ask me that. It's so funny. Always strangers, always random people, and they're mostly from Minnesota, because people from Minnesota will do anything you want them to do, because it's always like the 5 moms that are like, we're going to New York for the weekend, we're leaving the husbands at home, and they will do anything you want them to do on camera.
It's like Vegas, right?
It's Vegas. It is their Vegas. Yeah, they're always random people, and we don't have music, so it's usually me singing behind the camera, call me maybe, just like singing the worst music possible to these people.
And they're just dancing to it like that?
Dancing, and I usually clap and give them a beat of sorts, or they just follow me. It's usually to silence, so it looks even more mad because people are dancing to silence on the New York City streets.
So when did you decide to take it to the next step and start your own group and join the Doodah Parade tomorrow?
Well, we were just talking about how could we do this? How could we do this in public? And so we thought about doing it at Gallery Hop, but we didn't get our act together in June. And it was actually my husband, Ray, who said, hey, why don't we do it in the Doodah Parade? Because anybody can do the Doodah Parade. And Doodah's about having fun and sort of being irreverent. And we thought that fits in perfectly. So we're hoping that as many people as possible join us at the Doodah. It's just going to be a great time.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, Aaron, if you're looking for something to do next year, Doodah is having its 30th anniversary, and you have got to check out the Doodah Parade.
I feel just like it sounds dirty, the Doodah. It sounds like something happening that I would want to be a part of.
Yeah, I think you would. What you have been traveling around, though, and meeting dance walk groups around the country.
As much, you know, it's because work is primarily in New York, but when they send me other places, I'll be like, oh, what is this, a dance walk group? And there are dance walk groups in every place. I mean, I can go to any part of the world right now and be like, hey, I'm in Siberia. Let's see this. Yep, there's a Siberia dance walk. Awesome. Four guys, you know, wearing furs, just like dance walking. And that's the beauty of it. We went to Toronto, and within like 1 hour, it was a work day. It was the middle of the work day, and I'm like, do you guys want to dance walk? And they're like, sure. And they made me a t-shirt. It was really crazy. I mean, it's insane. I can't believe that. I mean, we've done this segment 1,000 times. For some reason, it just hit. People resonated, and they love it. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy that people are doing this. And it's theirs. It's not mine. It's not Joe's. It's the world. So I'm glad you guys are doing it over there at the Doodah.
What do you think the appeal is?
I think it's free, it's big. I think it doesn't cost anything, you know. You're not joining a spin class or something like that. I think it's fun. I think everybody's happy. I think, you know, it involves music and dance, and you can do it anywhere. You don't have to wear sneakers. You can do it in heels if you can, you know. There's a place here in New York City in the middle of Central Park where there's dancing roller skaters, and it's the happiest place on earth. It is, everybody's smiling, everybody's different, everybody's in costume, and the music is amazing, and it literally is the happiest place on earth. And I think that's the same philosophy, is that people are just happy.
So, Yen, what do you have planned for tomorrow for Doodah Parade? What's the setup going to be like? What can people do to participate?
Well, we're lining up on Park Street, you know, just with the Doodah lineup. So you can check out their website to know where to line up. We are going to be behind my brother-in-law's green VW bus, so that's what to look for.
Cool.
We have
a big banner.
So look for our banner, and we're wearing lime green T-shirts that say Dance Walk Columbus. So I think you'll be able to see us.
If you're watching online or on television, you can see Yen right now with her. I think it's more than just lime green, my friend.
It's fluorescent.
I think it's fluorescent.
I'm missing this whole thing right now. I want to see what's happening.
Well, you can go back and you can watch online, Ben, whenever you want. But, Ben, are you taking it any? I mean, where do you take it from here? What do you do?
I after the segment was done, I was like, I'm finished. Let's let dance walk kind of live on and do their thing. But at this point, I was actually talking to my dad, and I want to do the big dance walk. I want to do a massive charity event. All proceeds, 100% go to charity. I don't know what charity yet. Maybe UNICEF. Something great. Something for kids. And just have 100,000 people dance walking somewhere, maybe in New York.
Yeah, I was going to say something cool. So if we go to do it, we could go someplace fun.
Disney World. We'll do it in New York. Yeah.
Yen, there is something coming up, something dance related coming up later in the month that you're hoping to organize around.
Yeah. Well, July 28th is National Dance Day. So I know Ballet Met Columbus is celebrating dance this whole month. So check out their Facebook page because they're posting things. And there's talk of maybe, you know, doing some dance walking with Ballet Met. I'd love to see some real dancers dance walking, not just us amateurs.
Yeah.
I love the amateurs. It's better with the amateurs because then there's a lot of like pelvic thrusting and there's shoulder movements and there's all kinds of amazing improv. You know, real dancers can dance. You know, they can dance. It's like karaoke. It's like you would rather hear a person who's terrible at singing.
Yeah, you really like to dance, right, Ben?
I actually like to dance. I have the body of it's like Bob Saget, prepubescent, very strange. But I have a lot of shoulder movements and I'm a concave chest. Yeah. You know, when you have a body like this, it's easy. It's good material. Like, I don't want to eat or go to the gym too much because I'll lose the comedy in the body. If I'm way too good looking, it's just not funny.
Yen, tomorrow, can anybody join? What should they bring? What should they do?
Anybody can join. I think it's probably a good idea to wear comfortable clothing because it's going to be hot, and bring water. We'll have water too, and we'll have a cooler, but bring some water. You're going to probably want to have some carrying with you while you're dance walking.
Because it's going to be about 95 tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. It always is at Doodah.
Is it hot in New York, Ben?
It is. It's actually really nice today, but inside our studio it's 54 degrees, so we're all in scarves and coats and hats.
So do you go dance walking every day, Ben, now, or what's the deal?
In my mind, I do. Yeah. In my mind, I do. No, I try to save it because, you know, I do tend to pull muscles and break bones. So I'm vigorous with my movement. I have to keep it cool because if I don't, I will just be in the hospital constantly. We do it as much as you can. We it's all about, again, it's the best thing is you do it anywhere. So we mess around with people all the time.
Well, we have a move called the Ben Aaron. So we're going to make a video and we'll be sure to mark that move so you can see.
What's it like?
The move called the Ben Aaron. Oh, yeah. My gosh, that's amazing.
It's like a sideways grapevine with some sideways hand motions.
I love it. That's the best. I can't wait to see this. This is great. This is so great.
Well, Dance Walk Columbus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how many members now, Yen?
Oh, gosh, I think we have just over 30.
Okay.
So come join our Facebook page and see what's happening with Dance Walk Columbus. We're hoping some things happen after this Doodah Parade because it's just so much fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Ben Aaron, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for calling me by my first and last name.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ben Aaron.
Ben Aaron, NBC reporter Ben Aaron.
Oh, my goodness, I can't handle that.
And do we call you the originator, the founder, the discoverer? How do we?
I think Joe is the guy. Joe's the guru.
Joe's the guy.
I'm just the guy who likes to make a fool of himself in public.
You're just the conduit. Okay.
Public fool.
Okay. And yeah. Ben Aaron, thanks again for joining us. Really appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
Yen, once again, you're going to be at, tell people where you're going to be tomorrow at the Doodah Parade.
The Doodah lines up on Park Street between Buttles and Goodale, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And check their website out, doodah.com, I think it is. If you just Google Doodah, you'll find it. But we're going to be lining up there. Lineup starts about noon, and that's when we're planning to get there. Bring water, wear comfortable clothes, comfortable shoes, and get ready to dance.
All ages?
All ages. My kids are going to be in it. Yeah, we really do. We have all ages that are participating.
And coming up, you said there's the dance.
National
Dance Day.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. So this whole month is about celebrating dance. This is one way that sort of average Joes can do it who aren't dance professionals. But check out Ballet Met's Facebook page and their website because I know they are doing some things to celebrate the whole month.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today to tell us about it.
Thank you for having me.
Yen Dyakov.
Yes.
She is the founder of Dance Walk Columbus. You can find it on Facebook. You can learn more about the Doodah Parade on our website. Go to WOSU.org/allsides. Coming up, we're going to have the founder of the Doodah Parade. We're going to have Ms. Doodah with us, Deb Roberts, and also a longtime Doodah Parade participant, Joe Thiebert. So we'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, call it extremism, but conservative Yuval Levin doesn't apologize. The U.S. government needs a radical paring back, he says. We'll hear him out. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point is this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us today for All Sides with Ann Fisher. In just about 25 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides begins, and it's Tech Tuesday, a discussion of gamification, Nexus 7 tablets, Google updates, and much more. It's Tech Tuesday from 11 till noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.
At a time of legislative gridlock in Washington and depolarization in our national political discourse, Groundwork Democracy Close to Home is documenting how people at the local level are trying to solve problems, make decisions, and get things done with their family and neighbors. Listen to Groundwork Democracy Close to Home, Wednesday at 10 on 89.7 NPR News. And it's 81 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunshine today warming up to a high of 94. A heat advisory in effect until 8 o'clock this evening. Also, about a 30% chance of a pop-up shower or thunderstorm both today and tonight. For tonight, expect a low of 71. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Next year, the Columbus Doodah Parade will mark its 30th anniversary. Celebrating the event on an even number would be bad form, however. We decided to highlight the satirical march through the Short North and Victorian Village on its 29th anniversary. Joining us now to talk about the spirit of Doodah, how it has endured over time, is Ms. Doodah herself, Deb Roberts. Deb, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann.
Also, Doodah founder Greg Carr. Welcome to the show, Greg. And also with us is the official Doodah Parade starter, Joe Thiebert.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for being here. So we were just talking about Dance Walk Columbus joining the parade tomorrow. How does that fit into the overall theme of the event? Is that kind of typical, Deb?
Yes, just about anything goes. If you want to dance, be pulled in a wagon, pushed in a wagon, golf cart, bicycle.
We pull anybody off the street.
Yeah, and you don't know who's really going to show up tomorrow, right?
No, we don't. There's no pre-registration required.
Have there ever been any big surprises, Greg Carr?
Oh, yes.
Tell us about some of them.
Obviously, there were the far left, the far right. There were religious folks. There were atheists. But I think probably one of the most strange things that there was the Pope on a elephant.
A real elephant?
A real elephant. And we used to have the gay parade and the Doodah parade were at one time one parade. So you can imagine, Ann,
yes,
what kind of participation we had then. And it was dramatically, we had no idea. And it still is that, it's maintained that aura, if you will, from the get-go.
The element of surprise.
Right.
The element of surprise. Now, you're usually buzzing around in a golf cart.
Yes.
Right, Deb?
Yes.
So, but Joe, you're the starter of the parade. What does that involve?
Well, you try to put people in a walking things together with the floats are in the back.
Kind of mix it up a little bit.
Oh,
maybe?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And like Gregory said about the elephant, I never forgot that. He wanted to be with kids and dogs. And, you know, there's water balloons at the time. And I'm going, oh, boy, water balloons, elephant goes crazy, stomps kids, you know. But,
bad PR.
But what's great about it is the imagination of Columbus. It never ceases to amaze me, from old topics to political to present topics. You know, it just, they come out and they do it. They do it on their own. And it's really, I got to hand it to them. They got their thumb right on what's going on in the world.
We're talking about the Doodah Parade. The 29th annual Doodah Parade will occur tomorrow. It starts at
1 p.m.
If you want to be in the parade, you get there a little bit earlier. We'll talk about that coming up. And there are some rules, some do-nots for the Doodah Parade. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from our listeners who have participated in the parade, who go to it every year. We'd love to hear your memories. Your recollections, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you can go to the Facebook page and you can post your question or comment there, or you can tweet me at Ann Fisher, WOSU. How did it all start, Greg?
This was in the early 80s. And at that time, Columbus had no parade going on within the city itself.
For the 4th of July.
So a group of us met at the Short North Tavern, and we decided to have a farcical parade. And the one that I could only think of was the Doodah Parade, which this is a blatant ripoff in the Pasadena Doodah Parade. And from there, it just started. And the first year, we didn't know how, we didn't even have a permit. So we just marched on the street. But we ended up on the cover of, on the front page of USA Today and
that
the New
first
York
year?
Times. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we were stunned. I mean, and then the second year, it got larger and larger and larger. And Joe mentioned the issue of water guns. That became a big issue in the late 80s, early 90s. So we had to, you know, sort of restrict that a little bit. But then since then, Deb has done a magnificent job of restoring the parade to its vim and vigor.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple, like, don'ts. We mentioned that earlier. No water-related items unless it's a bottle of water that you're drinking from.
Right. I mean, it ruins people's art.
Right. And not hurting anybody's
and
property.
That too.
And then the dog thing, which particularly coming tomorrow, 95 degrees or whatever,
I mean,
it's going to be.
Can we just put the people on a leash and walk them barefoot around the parade instead? If they are going to be that cruel to the dogs? Or cat, you know, any animal out there.
Lots of people like to bring their pet to these things, but hopefully just because of the heat alone. But there's also the crowds are really big now.
Yeah, we have 3 or 4 people that show up now, so the crowds are deep.
Yeah. How long is the route, the parade route, Joe?
10 miles.
It's 10 miles.
No.
Okay. I thought, wait a minute.
It's a mile long.
I don't know if I can do Dance Walk Columbus tomorrow for 10 miles, but do we know?
1 mile.
1 mile, that's
yeah.
it? Okay,
yeah.
I can manage that for a while. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. We'd love to hear your memories of Doodah. David in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, and I had done the Doodah a couple times in the past. I did a float, which had a fortune teller and Uncle Sam on it, and there was a big sign.
That's
it
great.
Said, I see a war in your future, the fortune teller says to Uncle Sam, and Uncle Sam says, just one?
Yeah, that was a good one.
And yeah, actually, you gave us some kind of a what? We got a breakfast or something out of that.
Yeah,
there's a competition. That's right.
Yeah, some people. Yeah. Some people throw out prizes, and we just pass them on.
Have judges,
and then
less than honorable judges.
Yeah, David.
And then a couple of years, I did Three-Legged Man, which is kind of an illusion. It was first started in the 15th century in Europe. It's an illusion written up by in these archaic files that someone has researched and found. And it's basically a leg built around an arm crutch, and you have matching shoes, so you have 3 matching shoes, and you stuff the leg to make it look like a leg. And this 15th century manuscript even gave instructions as to how to move with it.
Like, I remember that. You were great.
Together. That's good, yeah. With a trench coat.
Yeah, right, trench coat. One year we had a family. My girlfriend at the time.
I thought you were all just deformed.
Well, that's the part. That's what's so fun, interacting with the audience. You know, you say stuff like, you know, what's wrong with genetic engineering? What could go wrong? It's always a lot of fun. And what I really like is that it puts Columbus on the map for being kind of, you know, an alternative, fresh look at things and that kind of stuff.
It's fresh every year. Are you going to go this year, David?
Boy, the heat's starting to scare me. I think I'm going to try the Three-Legged Man, though. It's pretty hot, but I'm going to try it.
Okay.
We'll be looking for you.
Thanks, David. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. So David called from Westerville. People come from all over the place for Doodah, then.
Right. We've had people from out of state come specifically for the parade.
Let's hear from Pat in Mount Sterling. Hi, Pat. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks very much. Love your show, and I particularly love the Doodah Parade. My kids were in high school when it first started, and we live out here in Madison County where it's pretty conservative and pretty farm-like, so it was great to bring the kids into the city and see a real diverse crowd and a really diverse parade. I loved it that there weren't rules because, of course, there are so many rules in parades. You just almost don't want to work in them anymore. But the Doodah Parade was pretty free of rules, and the kids got some new ideas that they've never had before. And I really appreciated the change, the diversity.
Thanks,
and the
Pat.
Fun.
Thank you.
All right, Pat.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
No rules, but once again, no pets, no water stuff, no throwing candy, which all the parades have that rule.
We don't want kids running out into the street to pick up the candy and get run over by a float or
trampled by the three-legged man or something like that.
Right, or an elephant.
You never know.
Even politicians, you know, they have to wear a funny hat.
Right.
You know,
yeah, you can be a politician and be in the parade, but you have to go along with the fun.
Right. Exactly. You just can't go out there and give out pamphlets and say, vote for me. Yeah.
Joe, what has been the most surprising? You know, you started off, you're the parade starter. What has surprised you over the years that you weren't expecting?
Well, I guess that's the same thing. Gregory mentioned the elephant, but just like I said, Columbus has got a great imagination. I remember this one guy, he had a beef with a sewage problem up at O'Shaughnessy Dam, and he had his car, his truck, his boat, everything was in mud, and their faces were mud. And, you know, just if you got a gripe, you got something, a problem, come on out and show it. You know, it doesn't matter if it's Columbus or whatever you want.
That's right. Wasn't that the Scioto turd darter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
See what I mean?
That's okay. It's not one of the seven words, so we're good. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Duda is nothing without memories. It's been going, this is the 29th year of its existence. And joining me in the studio, Deb Roberts, she's Ms. Duda. Also, Greg Carr, founder of Duda, and Joe Thiebert, he's the Duda parade starter. I met him a few years ago when I was the not-so-grand marshal.
That's right.
Every year you have a not-so-grand marshal. Right. In other words, you're trying, it's everything's kind of Alice through the Looking Glass with Duda.
Right. You know, we pick someone who has great spunk, personality, important in the media mostly, can poke fun at themselves. And this year we have Dino Tripodis, and he's pretty good at self-mutilation of humor on himself. He's a good guy, has a great sense of humor. And he's been on the air for a long time. He's like, hey, it's Dino's time. And he kind of fits in with our theme of Yabba Dabba Doo Da and, you know, the stoned and age mystery.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a caveman. Yeah.
We've had some not show up. Greg, tell us about
Well, I was just going to say is that the Doo Da started at the time that the Short North was really beginning to become a creative neighborhood. And it sort of synthesized and symbolized that creativity. And so when we did it, as I said, we had no idea. And the first time I knew that, and we were on TV, a local station covered us, and there was nobody around the original organizing spot. And this thing came over the horizon with a barbell, and I couldn't tell if it was a male, a female, a monkey, or what. I mean, it was, and then I said, oh, my God, I think we've got a parade. And that's what happened, and it really sort of synchronized since then. I mean, the creative elements of the city, like Joe mentioned, just emerged, and it just not the city.
There are two elements to it that I want to talk about, but first we'll get to it. They always seem to be there. They've been there a lot, but at first I want to get to another element with Vicki in Columbus. Welcome to the show, Vicki. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann, at all. I'm a marching Fidel wife, standing here with another marching Fidel wife.
Our sympathies.
The marching Fidel started 28 years ago. We went and watched the first year, and the second year they did their thing, and they've been doing it ever since.
Vicki, tell us what they do for those of us out here who don't know.
Okay. They all dress in, they dress up like Fidel, so they all have beards. And, you know,
like Fidel Castro.
Dress like Fidel Castro, including the beard. Well, 28 years ago, everybody's beard was black. And, of course, they were bought at Yankee Trader. So, you know, they would get funky over the years, and they go back to Yankee Trader and buy more. Well, now the beards tend to be gray, having, you know, gotten older. The other wife that's standing here is my daughter-in-law. Our sons joined the parade when they were 8 years old, as the second generation of marching Fidels. And so it just continues.
And Fidel takes naps, right?
Siestas?
Yeah, they've done the siesta in the street. I don't know about 95 degrees, but they've done it. And every year they have a different theme, so they kind of try to follow what Fidel's been up to that year, have a huge banner, and then, you know, do whatever. One year they had an enormous cigar with
it was smoking
dry ice. Yeah. So it's just lots of fun.
Well, good. Well, then we'll see you on the 95-degree pavement tomorrow.
Yes. Okay.
All right, Vicki, thanks for calling.
Is this supposed to be hot tomorrow?
It's supposed to be. It seems like it's been hot on 4th of July for many years now.
We could always have it today.
But I've been there. I've been there for Doodah when it's been raining.
Right. And when Buck Reinhardt was our lesson grand marshal, it rained all morning.
Right.
And then when the parade was about to start, the rain stopped. And then it was like 70 degrees and everybody was shivering. It was great.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes, I remember that too. What about some, we had an email from Paul asking you to talk about notable anecdotes of selections for not so grand marshals. You said some of them don't show up.
Right. John Corby
Why would they not show up? Yeah.
And he's not shown up.
Deb takes that role.
No, I don't. We just have an empty car. the late Andy Mann from CD101, he did not show because his wife had a baby, I think, the day before. So
excuses.
Let him go on that one. Leroy Jenkins, he showed up and Reverend Leroy Jenkins, he showed up and then realized what he was getting into and he, I think, abruptly left.
Yeah, but Reagan didn't show up.
Didn't show up. Warren G. Harding.
Right.
Warren G. Harding didn't.
Any others?
Abe Lincoln.
Okay.
I don't think Abe's been a lesson grand marshal.
Now we know.
David Letterman didn't invite him.
I got the nicest rejection letter last year from my hero, John Glenn, that he couldn't be lesson grand marshal. Made me very sad, but I'm going to frame the rejection letter anyway.
Yeah, that he even responded is quite the honor.
Yes.
The topics can sometimes get a bit risque, I suppose.
They can.
No.
Have you ever had any pushback from local officials or critics or people that wanted to ban Doodah?
Of course, because we're so...
No, of course. Let's get our story straight, people.
Why didn't we coordinate this before we got on the air, right?
Well, I remember...
That's the whole idea.
Joe's
going to talk. Quick, Joe.
I remember in about 88, I think it was Mayor LaShuck and the boys downtown, they had a parade the same time we did, had ours at 1 o'clock. And they had it, and we outdrew them 4-1. And that's when I think that the city finally recognized us. As this is a legitimate parade, and let's honor it. And Deb has made it into an institution now, so it's
the people have.
It's just a lot of fun. People, come on out; you'll have a great time. If you had never been to Doodah, you'll be amazed.
So, do you need permits now?
Oh, we've always had permits. Well, except for the year and the 3 years we were illegal, and then the third year, Lieutenant Barr says, "Hey, Ms. Doodah, you need a permit." It's like, oh, okay. So we have permits. We pay for the permits. We pay for the police. We pay for the toilets.
The post-parade party.
How do you pay for everything? Because you don't have
contributors that are on the back of the T-shirts.
But not big corporate sponsors.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, the biggest money we get, thank God, from GCAC. They gave us a couple grants this year, the 200 Columbus. There's a lot of names on the back of shirts because...
There are a lot of names.
I mean, it takes some money to put this parade on. It's free for everybody to be in it and to watch it, but somebody's got to pay for these permits and police.
But I think you're right about no corporate sponsorship, and that's one of the reasons why from day one we did not want somebody else, some external influence, telling us what to do.
Right.
So lots of little givers.
Mm-hmm. Make up big amount.
Local merchants up and down throughout the Short North.
Short North Tavern, you mentioned them. They play quite a role.
Right.
In
They're
this whole
our
event.
Main
that's
sugar
where you
daddy.
Do all your planning.
They're
and,
our sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the disorganizers meet. Secret meetings, Wednesdays at 6:30.
In the basement.
In the basement.
We have a Facebook question from Marianne. She says, my all-time favorite for its brilliance and simplicity is from many years ago, 20 or so people marching wearing I'm Billy Milligan T-shirts. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been some great flows. I mean, the guys that did drank the purple Kool-Aid.
Right.
What were they called?
Jim Jones Centrist or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same group, they also did the Border Patrol.
They had
a big orange. You were the lesson grand marshal that year. They had the big orange fence, and they were slipping people under the fence.
They were having cocktails.
Mexico.
So they were in Arizona where they were having a cocktail party. But then there's the other, the not the Trojans, but the
Vikings. Yeah.
They're
yeah.
there the every Nords. Year, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
Yes. Their saying is learn to speak American.
Well, like we say, it's the greatest event in the history of Western civilization.
Right.
Because there's nobody that's
no
free
hyperbole
from...
here, right. just right. you know.
And it's about freedom of speech. You know, right. there's so many things for people to say, but it has to be said through humor. You just can't come up and say, you know, I hate this. No, you have to poke fun at it.
Also, you don't want people up there doing kind of commercially type
right.
stuff.
No, the Fidels will take you to Cuba and you'll never be seen again.
Well, I remember when I was on, we did have WOSU out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but you were less than Grand Marshall and you were out You're there with your fishing
banned,
hat.
Too.
I was looking like an idiot.
Well, you know, that's
Lord
fun
knows.
Of doodah. See, yeah, we knew you would go out and have fun.
So, we don't have time. If you want to make a quick call, you can. 614-292-8513. So, there's a party, too. You mentioned that.
Yeah. Yeah. All the bands are performing for free. And the IBEW Local 683, they provide this enormous solar panel to amp the music. And we have some vendors and beer, but we mainly want people to go to the bars and restaurants and drink and cool down. But, you know, the bars get full. So if you're in the Short North and you have a bar or restaurant, open the doors on the 4th of July, because there's people wanting in, and those who can't get in, come on down the tap or down the Buttles
right.
off of High Street.
We're going to wrap it up with one call. Graham in Worthington, we have about 20 seconds.
Very quickly, I've been there before. Wonderful. Always wanted to take part, and we're going to be taking part tomorrow.
Great.
Just to let you know that royalty will be there.
Oh, all right. You're celebrating the grant, the silver. Diamond?
The Jubilee.
The Diamond Jubilee.
Yep.
Great. Okay. Thanks for calling, Graham.
Okay.
So the
Welcome.
Queen, yeah. I imagine her children or her grandchildren might be there.
I'm right? hoping.
I know. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Maybe Kate.
Yeah. Kate, Will.
Yeah.
You know, hail, hail. Well, yeah. Thanks for joining us today.
And thank you so much. And happy doodah, everybody. See you tomorrow, July 4th, 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Deb Roberts, she's Ms. Doodah. Also, Greg Carr, founder of Doodah. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ann.
And Joe Thiebert, Doodah Parade starter. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Come on out tomorrow, everybody. You have a great time. And thank you, Ann.
For more information, go to WOSU.org/allsides. We'll have a link there for you to learn more. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.